Welcome, everybody. How are we all doing? Wasn't that amazing? Kids did an outstanding job. I feel like I'm preaching from Italy this morning. What an amazing time of the year it is, and what a privilege to preach and to bring this message. And to so today is our third piece of It's Christmas, and what an amazing time of the year it is. I love preaching about Christmas, and people always expecting we're going to do a cute baby story. But we know that the baby came wrapped in swaddling cloths, as we looked at it last time, laid in a stinky manger, and we talked about a carol in Silent Night, Holy Night, Round Yon Virgin, whatever that means. And then we looked at some other stuff about Christmas carols and what they supposed to mean but don't really mean that. Because it wasn't really silent and it wasn't really quiet and calm. It was quite a boisterous evening. And you know, for some of people at this time of the year, it's not really a reflection for them of the great carols we've seen. They are great carols, please don't. Well, the pastor doesn't like carols. Now, that's not what he said. He just said that some of them should be rethought. And unfortunately, this time of the year, sadly, people experience pain and darkness and tragedy. If you watch the news, you'll know a couple of hundred people lost their lives Saturday night in Indonesia because of a sudden tsunami. I know a friend of ours who used to be part of this congregation, his father died last Friday. I have a friend who's part of the Translocal Apostolic Team who lives in Abu Dhabi, in Doha. In Doha at the moment, he's in a coma because he had a brain aneurysm. And they can't stop the bleeding on his brain. And so the world is praying that God would heal him and touch him. Not a great Christmas for these people. However, I'm trusting with the series that we've done, It's Christmas, that we can change that in our lives. Remember, we started off, and each week we've said it, it's not what happens around you, but what happens in you that matters. And so, Father, we come to you this morning, Lord Jesus, and we come to your word this morning. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the singing, the prayer time. We thank you for the children, Lord, and that it's not about gifts that we get all the time, Lord. It's about you, Jesus. And Lord, we want, as Louise brought that word, we want to boast about you today, Lord. We want to boast about the goodness and the kindness and the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, God, we just come, and Holy Spirit, would you help me this morning as I minister? Would you, Holy Spirit, minister to the congregation, to the people, to our family here, Lord? We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. So in week one, we looked at God with us and a revelation that it is not peace on earth. I heard it again the other day on the TV. Somebody would say, oh, peace on earth. And that's a nice notion, but it's not true because we've seen the Bible doesn't talk about that. It talks about on earth peace. And we have to understand that there is a difference in inner peace that Christ gives us. While there's chaos around us, God gives us the peace within us. And as I said, while there's pain and favor and darkness, His favor is upon us. His favor rests on us. We are the light of the world. We should take solace in this and be joyous about it. And He is the light and the hope of the world. If you could think with me, turn into your left brain this morning and let's go and think about the shepherds out in the field having a cosmic out-of-body experience with this bright light that came around them and heavenly choir singing. And Luke 2:13 says, and suddenly was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Not peace on earth peace. Among those with whom he is pleased. Translated, there on earth will be peace to those whose God's favor rests on. And so ask yourself, does God's favor rest on me this morning? So therefore, you should be at peace. A revelation, as we said in this part of the series, that we should be seeking God's favor, not peace. Because when we have his favor, peace will be ours. The second week, he looked at the gift of reconciliation, the gift that Jesus brings us, this gift of reconciliation. And we said, to find peace, one needs to be a peacemaker. And I would encourage, if you missed that one, do yourselves a favor, hot tip, before you get to 2019. Go and listen to the message online. I normally don't do this, but I really encourage you to go and listen to that message. Michael will say so anyway. We don't resolve our differences. We reconcile our differences. Remember we spoke about the reconcile as in a banking account? It means to bring the bank balance to zero. Resolving issues can still mean there's stuff. Well, I'll agree to disagree with you. No, we want to reconcile. We want to bring the bank balance to zero. Jesus didn't resolve our sins. Jesus reconciled us to the Father. He brought the bank balance to zero. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:18, he came and he said to you, I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. And we don't like to go and do that so much. If you need to be reconciled with your brother or sister, I'm telling you, please go and do it before we get to 2019. Because I think 2019, and we'll let you know more about this, is going to be a really exciting year for us. Yeah, I think Louise said, put your seatbelts on. So I think the Holy Spirit's going to take us on a good ride. Anyway, let's get to week 3, which is where we are. And this morning I want to preach on the Prince of Peace. You know, amazingly, Weston, she's in Sunday school this morning. Amazing, she quoted my scripture for me, my key text this morning. She quoted it, but she left off the last piece. And I thought, that's interesting. She left it for me. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. So what happened? There was a prophet who came along 700 years, think of this, 700 years before Christ was born. This prophet stepped onto earth and prophesied, the prophet Isaiah or Isaiah. And he said this, that he prophesied about this event, this advent of Christ, this event that we celebrate thousands of years ago. The Bible wasn't written yesterday. It was written then. Thousands of years into the future, the prophecy came true. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Understanding, Prince of Peace. What is Prince of Peace? Well, Prince in the Hebrew is the word Sar, S-A-R, which, just for those who are interested, we get the word czar from, C-Z-A-R, and where they also got the word Caesar from. But it means the one in charge. But when we talk about the prince, we think of Prince Charming, the shining knight, the guy on the horse. But there's so much more, there's so much a deeper meaning of it. It means the one in charge. It means the captain, the general commander in charge, the ruler of all rulers. That is what this prince is all about. And peace, shalom, complete wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, contentment, tranquility. This is not like an om moment, but tranquility in Christ Jesus, rest. So we put it together, Prince of Peace, the captain of peace, the Lord of rest, the one in charge of contentment. He is the one in charge, which means that I'm not in charge, which also means you're not in charge. I just thought I'd throw that in there. The issue is that Jesus is peace. It's not what he gives you because he is peace. Jesus is a whole bunch of stuff. He is peace. He is grace. Grace has a name, and the name of grace is Jesus. Jesus is peace. He comes into our lives, and when he is truly ensconced and reigning and ruling in our lives, peace will reign in our lives because he is peace. Our understanding of that will make some scriptures come alive. You go, where's the baby story? Come tomorrow night. I'll give you the baby story tomorrow night. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. Two words, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you, Jesus. This is of Jesus ascending, going into heaven. And he says, my peace. This is not a commodity that we can buy. This is not something that we can go and grab hold of. He is peace. He gives us peace. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, Three words. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any peace with God except through Lord Jesus Christ. There are many ways to Jesus, but there's only one way to the Father, and that is through His Son, Jesus. We can all say we came to Jesus through many different ways, but we can only come to the Father through the Son. Justified, in right standing with God, balance brought to zero. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bringer of peace. Amen, Mark. Hallelujah. Glory. There we go. Now we're getting it. We're getting there. Psalm 4:8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord. Very important. Make me dwell in safety. Because of you, Lord, because of you alone, O Lord, I'm at peace. I can lie down and rest. No treaties, no agreements, no handshakes or contracts can do this for us. We can nail a contract and go, yes, but it doesn't bring us peace. Only He, oh you, oh Lord, you make me dwell in safety. Psalm 29:11. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. We have His favor, we have His blessing upon us because He is the peace giver. Oh Lord, it is only you who gets me to lie down. It is only you, Lord, who brings me peace. It is only you, Lord, at this time of the year when I'm worried. I mean, someone shared with me this morning, they put it this way, that they are shared custody with their parents. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But that's what it's like sometimes at Christmas. I know, I lived like that. So do we do Christmas lunch with my mom and then we go and do Christmas lunch with Bridget's mom, and when do we swap them around and how we do them? Not because I hated each other, it's just like all people who didn't get along, I guess. Oh, no, I'm trying. Psalm 29, bless His people with peace. After the disaster of the flood that was coming with Noah, this is where this came from. God strengthens and blesses His people. Can you imagine having been only the eighth person stepping out of the ark on that day and going, wow, Lord, Your peace is with me. Thank You, Lord. So last week we looked at Ephesians 2:12. I want to look at that again this week. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, talking to all of us, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Do any of you remember what it was like having no hope without God in this world? I do. But now, in Christ Jesus, who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. See, it's not my good ideas, this is what the Bible says. Who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing walls of hostility. Jesus alone is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. If I may say so, it's impossible to have true peace without connecting genuinely and authentically with the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why you'll hear us say it's not religion, it's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The man Jesus, the baby Jesus who grew up mid-teenager, young adult, man, fits into all of it. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you won't have true peace. True for me. This is my life's testimony. I had a great job. I earned good money. And then I went into the ministry. What was I thinking? Well, it wasn't about money, that's why. I had a good career. I had great fun and great parties. Bridget and I, king and queen of party boy. Yahoo! Yet, I was empty inside. It took me a while to figure it out. Man, doesn't matter how good I party from Friday to Sunday. By the time I got back to work on Monday, man, I was empty, empty, empty. Why? Because I never had Jesus and I never had His peace in my life. Some people say that peace is an emotion or a feeling. I feel at peace or I feel peaceful. If you're a teenager or a young adult in the 60s, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Peace is not an emotion or a feeling. It's a person. Some say that peace is the absence of conflict. Well, that sounds cool. Sounds good philosophy. But you know that a lot of good philosophy is not good Bible. You've heard me say that. It's not correct. Peace is not the absence of something. It is the inclusion and the presence of someone. That's what peace is. If you truly want peace, it's not about getting rid of stuff. I'll come to Jesus, but oh, Mark, I've got to give up so much stuff. I thought like that too. I thought, well, I've got to give up partying. Well, who wants to give up partying? You know, I mean, look, wow. I bred and trained dogs, and I showed dogs. But all that happened over the weekend. My dogs were worth thousands of rands or dollars. But when I met Jesus Christ, it wasn't hard. It was easy. So aren't you coming to the shows anymore? Aren't you going to show your dogs anymore? No. I showed real dogs, by the way, just so you know, Rottweilers. Takes a big man to walk a little dog, I know, but hey, where am I? It's not about getting rid of stuff, but taking on more of Jesus. Creating out in your life more of Jesus. Jesus becomes your life. We say, you are the center of it all. We sing that. We give mental assent to it, but we don't do it. It is to personally know the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. If you pursue Jesus, let me give you a guarantee this morning. Pastor, you shouldn't give guarantee. No, I'm going to give you a guarantee. If you pursue Jesus, you will find peace. There you go. Some of you agree. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Peace is the outcome, if I could put it, or the byproduct of a relationship with Jesus. Some of you are tired of pursuing the elusive peace. Pursue Jesus. Focus on Him. If there's storms and confusion and anxiety and trouble in your life, and you're in this boat, we know the parable, the story. If Jesus is in your boat with you, there's peace in the boat. Storms around you. It's not what's happening around you, what's happened in you that matters. Doesn't matter what storm is going on. And I know we can go across the whole room here and we can get you to line up and you'll tell us all the storms that you're going through. I want to tell you that if Jesus is in the boat, I mean genuinely in the boat, and we're going to talk about that now, true peace will come. I have three deep theological things for you today. I call it living under the God canopy. So, living under the God canopy. That can be the God canopy of protection, the canopy of salvation, the canopy of submitting to Him. Anyway, the first point I want to make is get under the lordship of Jesus. And I say submit to it because we need to, it's a something we get to do. The canopy of His lordship, I'm standing under it, but I can also get out of it, because when I get out of it, then stuff happens and we don't know why it's happening. There are a lot of well-meaning followers of Christ who call Him Lord, but don't position themselves under His lordship. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, Lord, 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 we cast out demons, we did this, we did this. He says, depart from me, I know you not. That scripture scares me spitless. But I understand, He's got to be Lord of our lives. Oh, I'm battling with this thing today. The God canopy of protection. It's raining outside. And that it's a picture of the world. It's raining stuff down on you. But when you come under the God canopy, you're protected. You're safe. You're in His will. So what do I have to do to get under this canopy? I'm so glad you asked. He must be the Lord of all. I know this is deep theology. He must be the Lord of all. Place yourself there. I'm not trying to tell you about some methodology or three things to do. This is not what I'm saying today. I'm just giving you good Bible stuff in a very simple way. We know when we want a Savior, but we haven't transferred to Lord and Master. That's what I love in the psalm. It says, O Lord, you are my peace. Because the psalmist understands that he is the Lord. We want the package benefits, but we don't want to be told what to do, especially by your pastor. You don't tell me what to do. I'm not. I'm trying to help you. I love you. I want to see the best in your life for you. We don't want to listen to have the captain or the Tsar or the Caesar of our life telling us what to do. Well, I'll just make my own plans, and then how they work out, then that's okay, and God will just bless it. No, he won't. Oh, I thought he's just going to bless whatever I decide to do. No, you've got to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, what should I do? That's why I love so much about what Ken and Brenda and the road that they've walked. And just by the way, it's Ken's last Sunday with us today. But we're not releasing him. We are going to send them. Their house is sold, but there's a closing date, so they will come back. Brenda will be around, and then we will send them, not release them, because the way they've done this. Please hear my heart this morning when I say many Christians call him Lord, but live under their own canopy of direction and power and control and decisions, and then expect God to bless it. You can say that louder, Kev. That's right. There we go. When things go wrong or not the way you expect it, how many times have you heard a prophetic word and in your head have decided how that's going to work out for you? And then it doesn't, and you go, well, God didn't do what he said he would do. No, he did. He just didn't do it your way. I was thinking about it the other day, about this, of course, when I'm prepping. And a guy prophesied over us when we left South Africa and came here. And one of our things I said, you know, babes, when we get to Canada, just don't ever expect to own our own home. Oh, ye of little faith. Because there are realities to finances and things and how that all works. And a dear friend of ours, Sarah Wenton, he sat with us and said, hey, I'd like to have lunch with you. And he's a real buff South African strong guy. And he sat down at the table and took her hands and he went like this. He pulled a Chris. I was like, what the heck's going on here? And then he said, oh, I'm just so sorry you guys are going, but I'm so joyous. And he was weeping and crying. And Bridget and I are like, what? And he said, I just want to prophesy to you, someone in Canada is going to give you a house. So I had an idea on how that's going to work. And then I realized that prophecy came true about 6 years ago. Because our status at then, we weren't even landed immigrants. We were still on a religious workers visa. I don't have time this morning to tell you the whole story, but the point was we could not afford to buy a house. Bridget went and visited a woman because she saw this for sale sign, because my wife is the eternal optimist. And she said, do you want to come and see it? I said, oh, babes, don't be ridiculous, please. We can't buy that house. And Bridget got to the front door, and there was a lovely Jamaican lady at the door, and she opened the door, and she said to her, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one. And Bridget said, I'm the one what? And she had, obviously, her blonde hair, and she had two gold hooped earrings. And she said, the Lord showed me in a dream that you were coming to my door today, the blonde lady with the gold hoop earrings, and you are to have this house. Bridget came and she was so excited. Mark, you won't believe what the lady said. You know, like Rhoda, praying, Lord, get Peter with John and Paul out of jail. Peter and Paul, Mary, the whole of the bank shoot, get them out of jail. And then they arrive at the door, and Rhoda says, you won't believe he's at the door. And they go, no, who? And they say, it's Peter. And they go, no, he's in jail. We've been praying for him to come out of jail. Well, we've been praying, Lord, give us a house. And here it is. And through all legal. Just so you know, the Lord granted us this home, which we call home. We bought it and paid for it. And then the guy came one day and he called our financial guy, old Jacques, and he said, the bank called him in and said, Jacques, this deal that I signed here, what is this? He says, well, whose signature's on the money? He says, mine. He says, well, how did this happen? He says, I don't know. I brought this deal to you. You looked at it, you signed it, and he said, don't ever bring me a deal like this again. He says, I have no idea why I signed it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. for giving us a house. Yeah, no, it didn't come the way I thought. I mean, when I thought give, you know, you all know what I mean, eh? If you don't, you can ask Chris afterwards, he'll explain. Yeah, I know. We need to stay under God's canopy. Peter puts it this way, Acts 10:36. He says, as the world that he sent to Israel preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That's it. He's Lord of, what's it, how's it go? He's Lord of all, he's not Lord at all, right? Package and position go hand in hand. You want the package deal? Get in the under the canopy, the God canopy, and you will get the package. And when you position yourself there, favor will come to you and you will go, I don't understand this favor. Ken and Brenda are still wondering about the favor. Do you mind? I won't tell numbers. They asked the price. They got over their selling price. Yeah. Why? Because they did things right under God's canopy. From the picture we see, when you step out from under God's canopy, you will get wet. It's raining, it means you get wet. And with the world rains down on you, you don't want to get wet that way. We are righteous not because we say so or we made it so. It's because of what Jesus did for us. That's why we are righteous. We are in right standing with God because of the work of the cross and the work of Jesus. The prophet Isaiah says it this way, and the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Submit all aspects of your life to Jesus. Everything. Don't build walls around you and then have your own little, this piece for me. There is no me. We are bought at a price. Redemption, stood on the slave block, bought at a price. I know it's hard for us to comprehend that we were slaves to something. And now we are sons to the Most Lord High. Point number two. I know this is deep theology. Bring Jesus into every situation. You mean like everything? Yeah, like everything. Bring Jesus into your marriages. Bring Jesus into your finances. Bring Jesus into your workplace. Bring Jesus into your relationships. Bring Jesus to your neighbors. Take Jesus to the shops with you. Take Jesus to school with you. Take Jesus everywhere and anywhere that you go. Don't ever be caught in a place where he's got to say to you, Michael, what are you doing here? Some of you might have heard of a guy called Jesse Duplantis. Jesse, when he was crazy and going for himself and not for the kingdom, used to go out to the nightclubs and drink himself stupid and couldn't get drunk. And then he'd go and find the tiki box, the phone, because there are no cell phones in those days. And he'd go and say, Mama, stop praying. You're messing up my evening. And then one day he was on the dance floor in the nightclub, boogieing. Here we go, look at those moves, eh? I know. And he felt the Holy Spirit all over him. He was like, Lord, what are you doing here? He says, Jesse, because Jesus speaks with southern accent when he speaks to southerners. He says, Jesse, I was just about to ask you the same question. Stay away from all appearances of evil. Take Jesus with you everywhere you go. This is not a Sunday experience. My heart for us is to live in peace, in freedom, in liberty, in victory every day. Someone said it this morning. Every day, every way with Jesus. How hard is that? Remember when we did the deep dive into Titus? We dealt with the sacred and the secular of family, work, church, and rest. We don't live two lives. We live one life. You can try and be an undercover agent and do your whoop. I'm a glug glug, you know, in your little submarine during the week and then come to church on Sunday and surface. Hello. God knows. You shouldn't be in a submarine. You should be up on the water telling the world, here I am, look at me. I got Jesus with me. What are you going to do about it? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. See, I don't make this stuff up. The Lord be with you all. Benediction for you. Jesus with us all the time. Philippians 4, Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, it puts it this way. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, ignore it. No. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Last point, another deep theology. Keep your mind on Jesus. To bring strength and nourishment. You know, the psychologists and scientists, all those clever people, tell us that the best gift we've ever given is a brain. Because otherwise we'd just be like puppets. But we need to feed our mind with the greatest gift that we have and feed our minds when we focus on Jesus. I'm focused on Jesus. The world, step out, rain. Oh, you clip it back in. Oh, nice and dry. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. If your mind is well nourished with being focused on Jesus, with being under the God canopy, with having Jesus with you every day, there is nothing else. I know when Kevin preached that the piece that he did on young men, right, in Titus, we think that we can sometimes say, okay, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore, so Lord, just take it away from me. What we have to learn is that if we empty ourselves of something, there's a void, we have to fill it with something. Because if we don't, there's just that empty hole again. Lord, I don't want to do sin in my life. And then we don't fill it, and then we repeat it, and we go, yeah, well, that didn't work for me. It's because we fail to fill it with His Spirit, with His thoughts, Him being Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Sar Shalom. You know, it tells us it takes 17 or 18 repetitions to remember to do something. So Kevin's going to do this for 17 times to call us to the front. Chris was here the other day, and when he came, he said, you know what this looks like? I said, what's it look like, Chris? Because now I'm nervous, because Chris can go anywhere and everywhere. He says, when the people are up the front, it makes more space at the back for others to come in. Is that a good thought? Is that a God thought? I said, absolutely. So here's again. So now you've heard it 4 times, 5 times. Don't be afraid to come. We want to take out the front row so we can actually mosh pit. And for the young adults and the young youth, if you want to stage dive, stage dive. You can't. We're in the church. No, you are the church. We've got to change our mind the way we think. This is just a glorious building. I thank God for it every day, and so should you. Thank you, Lord, for your provision for this amazing building. This is not the church. This is the church. I'm trying. I'm just going to say this. Stop referring to this as the sanctuary. It's not a sanctuary. There is no brick and mortar sanctuary anymore. This is the sanctuary. Here we go. Now we go. You can get up and run around, Chris. This is just a room. We call it, because of the way it is designed, we call it the coastlands room or the auditorium. You are the sanctuary of Christ. The indwelling presence of the Most High. Think about that for a while. Ooh. Yeah. It's time we started to think about that kind of stuff. We got to be wild for Jesus, not weird. Too late. Yeah, I know. Oops. Oh, where are we? Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I trust Jesus more than I trust my own wife. What? Yeah. And I hope she feels the same way. Well, she trusts Jesus in me more than she just trusts me. Not that there's anything not to trust, but I just thought I'd say that. What does that mean? We should think about him, pray about him, speak about him, talk about him, worship him. It's in my notes. Brag about Jesus. She didn't know it was in my notes. If there's anything we're going to brag about, it's got to be Jesus. If you're visiting today, welcome. And we do make a whole lot about Jesus in this place. Last scripture, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let me say it again for you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. You know, joy is way beyond just being happy. You know, we're more than happy here. Laughter is, I'm happy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Ghost for your King James people. And peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Where is this peace? It's under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Salvation, let me finish before you furrow your brow. Salvation is not walking the aisle, praying the prayer, and shaking the preacher's hand. It's not salvation. Salvation is getting under the canopy of God. Submitting, making a choice to come under his canopy. Shift the control of your life from me. We sang this morning, something about getting rid of all my pride. Ooh. I know none of you, just me. But we got to get under his lordship, under his care. Well, Jesus is my Lord. Is he really? Are you obedient to the word? We've said this before. We know, what's it, Gary Chapman's five love languages. Well, they're good. They're not biblical. They're helpful. What is biblical is, what is Jesus' love language? If you've been here a while, you know what that answer is. Obedience. That's Jesus' love language. We're going to please Jesus, be obedient to him. Move in, out of the rain. Get under the canopy of God. Bring Jesus into every situation that you can think of. Wake up in the morning and start talking to him first. I speak to myself. Do you talk to Jesus first, or do you check your latest Facebook posts? Cricket, cricket, cricket. Keep your mind on him. Keep your mind focused on Jesus. Lord, what do I do in this situation? I had talking to one of the pastors the other day, and he was renting a basement from someone else, and they needed to move back in. And so they asked him, will you leave early? So he said, well, we're praying people, and so we'll pray about it. I'm like, dude, the guy wants to move back into his house. No, let me ask the Lord, what is the right thing to do? And when is it the right time to do it? I'm not saying let's get religious now. Oh, hello, stay with me. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. Jesus, I have this big decision to make. What should I do? I just think I'll just go and buy another car. And you go and buy a car, and then you realize, well, it's a lemon. It doesn't work so well. Did you ask Jesus? Or did you step out from under the canopy and go, oh, it's raining? I know that's a silly but a good example.